So what up, you guys? Welcome to Elo Designs Podcast, and I just wanted to start off by saying Happy New Year's to everyone. We are coming into 2022 on an amazing start, and I just wanted to introduce this week's guest. His name's Aaron. He is a video editor and Adobe ambassador. So hope you guys enjoyed our podcast as we talk about the struggle of staying motivated and also dealing with the learning curve when it comes to learning new software. So hope you guys enjoyed this and listen to the struggle. Okay, so Aaron, if you could just introduce yourself and who you are and what you do.
Oh, hey everybody. I'm Aaron Rodriguez. I'm based here in San Antonio, Texas. And I do a little bit of everything creatively, but where I got my start was video editing with Premiere Pro. And because of that, you know, and being the creative mind and wanting to dabble in other things, I got into motion graphics and then logo design and illustrations, not really illustrations, but using Illustrator. My least favorite app for sure is Photoshop. So I'm definitely more on the video editing side of the Creative Cloud and, you know, those creative softwares. And yeah, I've been editing videos forever since like I was in middle school. I would be putting together slideshows or making little YouTube videos. And I never realized that it could be something that my whole career is based on now. So it's been really fun to be part of that process and to see it almost happen before my eyes without me noticing it and, you know, falling down that career path. So it's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see, you know, where my life takes me with this creative mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's good. And you also mentioned, like, you know, so you've been doing this for like years, you say. So like, even as you were younger, how was that experience? Like being a young creator, do you remember those days?
Yeah, I do for sure. Cause I think I was really inspired by my dad. My dad's a graphic designer and he's worked with a bunch of big brands. So like when I was little, I'd see him working with like Reebok or Nike or going on business trips and, you know, working on all these cool projects. But I never knew that I knew that I'm not a graphic designer. I couldn't even draw like a stick figure without being self-conscious about it, you know? But I had a knack and, you know, interest in making videos. And it really started out with like a little flip camera. I found it the other day. You remember the flip cameras with the USB stick? Mm-hmm. I had one of those just recording stuff around my house and like talking over it, which is funny because now I do like voiceovers now for commercials and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what I had so much fun doing, that coming up with stories, being a storyteller, and, you know, just putting it together in iMovie on my mom's laptop, you know. It was so much fun. But yeah, I remember when you're a kid, you definitely have the least creative bounds. You can do anything you want, you know, within your possibility, and you'll make it happen somehow, you know, whether it's good or bad. So sometimes I look back and I'm like, man, I'm surprised I did that. Or like, man, I really did that. You know, it's kind of cringy, but, you know, I think little Aaron would be proud right now of, we know where we are.
Yes. And then also, like, you're an Adobe ambassador. I was like, claps to you. And how was that experience like too?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So this is my second year as an Adobe ambassador. I got to, you know, teach workshops. I've gotten to speak at Max last year. I got to, you know, host events on like LinkedIn with some really creative people. So like some of the events I've done are like with video game companies like EA, Epic Games, and then Riot Games. That was a really cool panel. Before that one, I got to speak with like the creative director of like Pandora for a set. That was really fun. It's been really awesome just because I've been using Adobe since like middle school, and to think that I only used Premiere and I was like, I'll never touch anything else. Mm-hmm. And here I am teaching people how to use other softwares or even how to tap into their creative selves and, you know, be a little more, you know, free to express themselves with these technologies has been really fun. One really cool experience was I taught a workshop along three other ambassadors earlier this year in like April, and it was about creative side hustles. Mm-hmm. And some other people from Adobe were there, and they sent down a film crew and recorded a little documentary about what I do, about being like a filmmaker, making videos on the side, which is a lot of fun. And my dad, he was like, man, I've been using Photoshop since it came out. Like, here you are and they're interviewing you. This is so weird, you know? So it was pretty funny, but it's really gratifying for sure.
Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like going in depth more of this as far as like, how does one get a position like that? I've noticed too, like once you get closer with Adobe or you start looking into things with Adobe, like they have scholarships and I feel like it's a really close community too. Like I'm on the Discord, so I should share that with this on this group and this podcast and anybody who's interested. But yeah, like how did you get into that position as well?
So for me, yeah, someone reached out on LinkedIn and based on my work and, you know, my current roles, I would post a lot and share a lot to my LinkedIn of my current projects. So I think it just came to the point where people saw that I was doing this in my area and there was a need for an ambassador in my area. And I went through the process. It was like, I think 2 or 3 interviews and then showing my portfolio, which was hard for me because I'm super self-conscious about my creative self outside of what, you know, when people review it and you're being judged and critiqued on it. You know, but once I went through it, I was like, okay, I think I have a good shot because I knew all the apps, I knew all this other stuff, experimented with it. And yeah, sure enough, it happened. So it was really fun. But I'd say, you know, for me, it was just putting stuff out there on LinkedIn, which, you know, got them attracted to me in the first place.
I'm really starting to understand, like, people have to get on LinkedIn. It's very underrated, I think. I feel like people are so focused on, like, Instagram and how to keep that feed going. But then it's like, have you been on LinkedIn and networking? I've connected with, like, alumni from my school, and I think that has probably been the best way for me to, you know, keep relationships or, like, actual networking connections and other positions and stuff. So, yeah, I really recommend that for everyone. Go on LinkedIn and just...
For sure.
Yeah, I have and, like a system too with it, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say, it was kind of to that point, was do you ever go on YouTube, the Adobe YouTube, and watch the live streams?
Sometimes Adobe YouTube though, I haven't. I've seen the live streams, but I watch them through LinkedIn. That's kind of funny.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah,
so I watch them through LinkedIn, but I should check it out on YouTube too, because some I miss. So I'm like, damn, I missed it. But if they have it on YouTube, okay. Take it
and some of those people like that host it, you can find them on LinkedIn and they're like super accessible. Like you can message them and be like, hey, really love this. And they'll be like, thanks, you know, and now you have a connection and some rapport with some of that works with Adobe that's certified to do these live streams. And, you know, usually they're pretty well known already in the community. So they're really cool to reach out to. I would highly recommend that.
Okay. Like giving me networking tips. I like this. Yeah. No, I need it because like, the way I network, it's very first, it's like my background. I'm really like work virtually, go to school virtually. So I'm in here, this area of my room. So it's like the way I try to network with people, I try to be like authentic. I try to write messages. But I'm really trying to figure out who do I want to network with? Who do I want to connect with? And like you said too, about like, you know, you could find the biggest people. That's kind of why I like the creative industry too, because it's like, if I were to try to contact Kanye right today, right now, that'd be hard. But it's like, if I wanted to contact probably like Paula Scher or her studio or somebody like that, it's like, okay, this would be a little bit easier as far as like they're known, they're well known in the creative industry, but you can figure out ways and avenues to get that easier than like a famous celebrity.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there are people that, you know, probably will add more value to your network too. You know, like everybody knows, like, for instance, a Kanye West, right? But like people that you can actually take a valuable skill from, or, you know, a life lesson from that's more along your career path, it becomes so much more relatable. And I think so much more valuable too.
That's why I trust that. And yeah, I like the I'm so glad I'm in this Discord too with Adobe, because they have like prizes at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And being in like, I feel like not, this doesn't happen a lot, but I feel like you can easily get prizes and other things, right? So I had my portfolio reviewed from like someone from Disney, and I'm just like, oh shit. Like I forgot that I entered, because they were like, oh, show us your portfolio and you can get it reviewed by someone. I was like, oh, okay. So I entered, and they're like, and then they're like, oh, congratulations, you got your portfolio reviewed. And I'm like, I did? Like, I'm like, by who? And they're like, oh, someone from Disney. I'm like, okay, this is great. So it's like, you don't even notice the opportunities you can have with Adobe or small little things if you just like look into it or go to an event or talk to someone. So yes, networking is very important.
Yeah, for sure. And I can totally relate to you in the sense of doing everything virtually. Like since quarantine started, I realized how much I can do from my little office space here, you know, and it totally transformed my like mindset of what it means to be a creative or even, you know, doing your own thing, you know, because I think people think networking, they think, you know, going to school, going to like socials or anything like that. But no, it's literally a matter of a DM, you know, or, you know, just starting a chat with somebody, you know. So I think when you realize that, the barrier of entry is a lot smaller, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's why. And it's not that hard, too. I feel like it may seem a little nerve-wracking. Like, it's weird, though. With me, with that's going on with networking, it's like, I have issues with who I'm trying to talk to. Like, I can network anyone on LinkedIn, right? Mm-hmm. Alumni, anybody that I don't know. But it's like, I feel like the hardest people that I want to contact that I feel weird when I contact are my professors. But I'm saying this was a person who like I want to network with, obviously, because mm-hmm. obviously he's a well-known graphic designer. But I feel like after watching all his talks and watching all his TED Talks that he did and watching all these videos and YouTube, I'm like, this person is well-known. So I feel like something's telling me, you know, go out and reach out to them, or you're a professor too, you might as well. But mm-hmm. it just seems so awkward because it's like, oh, they know me in class, or I don't want to seem like the teacher's pet, or I don't want them to pick on me next time we critique because it's like, oh, I emailed you. It's like, I don't know, that just seems like the only type of people that is hard to contact. I don't mm-hmm. know.
But, yeah, for me, I'm in the same boat, because there's some professors I've had that are really like down to earth and you look up to them. And then there's others who try to be those professors that aren't as approachable, mm-hmm. you know, like I know there was a professor I had, and I'm an Adobe ambassador, but the class was about Avid, you know, how to edit with Avid. And I was using some of the speed keys I learned through Adobe, and she was like, oh, that's lower level stuff, I don't know that. I was like, wait a minute, you know, and this was like during my final. I was like, okay, you know, I thought you were cool, but like, why can't you just bring us up? We're students, you know. But yeah, I think when you do find those professors, why not try to connect and, you know, develop that relationship?
Yeah, that's true. At least they could be like, is like, get out my face. But it's like, they're your professors, you know. And that's the thing too, it's not even like taking advantage of them, but it's like, you're a student and you want help, so it's like, you might as well ask for it. I have to plan my message. What I like to do when I'm contacting someone, I like to write pre-messages before. So like if it was something about myself or something, like I could just write it before and then later I'll fix it before I send it. Cause I feel like if I write it out and just send it, it's like, oh, I misspelled this, or oh, this happened, and it won't sound right. But I try to give myself like a day or two if it's someone like really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a few notes, like things in my notes on my phone of like, icebreakers, you know, like good ways, worked, you know.
Good. See, you're tracking yourself. You have your own data for for networking. See, that's important. But yeah. But I want to also talk about like video editing. Like, mm-hmm. okay, so me personally, this is kind of what I'm struggling with as far as like trying to learn motion, specifically motion design. I want to do like interaction design, you know, try to do like make apps and websites. But right now, like it's learning motion design with my school and class. So I'm really starting to forget how hard it was to learn just any application. So After Effects is this one example. Like, I don't know why After Effects is like whipping my ass, but it's been so hard because I've been trying to watch YouTube videos, trying to do, I try to go full on when it comes to learning something, just because I want to get used to it and I want to learn it like not quickly, but learn it in a way where it's like, I feel that I can get it done. And like, once I handle this skill and I feel confident, I can do more with it. But it's like this week, it's like, I was trying to learn just regular things, tools, navigation. Right. Mm-hmm. And I got so upset and I was like, I got so pissed. And I was just like, how am I going to do this? Like, how am I going to learn this? And I was talking to like one of my mentors and he was like, Lauren, why are you trying to rush and do this in like 2 weeks? I was like, what do you mean? Like, how are you trying to learn an application like this quickly? It takes time. And it kind of like just that thought went through my head and it snapped, like as far as me remembering how it was like to try to learn application. Like I remember when I didn't even know how to use a MacBook. Like I guess growing up, I didn't have like the Apple computers, and I didn't know you could right click. So right clicking on a mouse, I remember going into like my first design class, and I had no idea how to use that damn mouse. And I was just like, this is crazy. Like I got so upset. Another issue too, I got so upset. And then I just like Google and just figuring out things by myself. And like, I had to remind myself how hard that process is, as far as like, damn, like learning something is like hard as shit, or it takes time. And I think like these past couple of years, I've been so used to like working in the same three applications of like Illustrator, InDesign, and like Photoshop. So it's like, I've been so used to those, right? And I've just been leveling up this whole time. But then now it's like, okay, you got to start back from the beginning. And it's like, oh my gosh, why is this so hard? But I know this is like a short story, but the overall like question is like with video, right? Like, how was your process when it came to like learning different softwares, or how did you go through that?
Yeah, so I'm kind of on the opposite end of like learning the software. Surprisingly, I haven't had too much of a hard time transferring, I guess, my mindset and work integrating to my workflow, you know, the different applications. And for the first application I ever learned was Premiere, and I used that from middle school through high school. And I tried learning After Effects in high school, and that's when I was like, I'm never going to touch this. Why even learn it? You know? And then like this internship came up, and they're like, oh, do you know like After Effects, Illustrator, and Photoshop? I was like, yes, I know it, but I only knew Premiere. You know, I was like, I'll learn it on the job, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how hard can it be? So I downloaded it all. And I think the biggest thing that helped me was just go in there, no tutorials, or at least learn the basics from a tutorial, you know, but don't watch a tutorial with a project, you know. Okay. Learn what the tools do, go in there and have no expectations and see what comes out. And even like the whole point is like to be able to just mess around with something and you can delete it and that's it. You know, there's no expectation of, oh, this isn't working like the way I want it to. Eventually you'll learn the tools and use them the way, you know, you'll learn how to use them to be able to integrate them to workflow that's natural to you. And then, you know, you can recreate that time and time again because it's intuitive to you, you know. But After Effects was the one I kind of had the most resistance to because I had used Premiere so much. Mm-hmm. But the key to it is, but the keyframes, you know, once you learn like how and what you can do with the keyframes, everything else is a piece of cake. And what drew me to it and what got me even more invested was with Premiere, I was so used to having to record footage and being able to go somewhere and get the content. But with Audition and with After Effects, the concept of being able to create a video with no footage at all was so intriguing that I was like, I got to learn it, you know, more. But yeah, I'd say, you know, go in there, no expectations. And like you just mentioned, you can't rush it. You know, if you rush it, that's when you get frustrated and you won't learn anything. You'll spend a whole night and be like, I got to wake up again and get frustrated again tomorrow, you know? Yes. But yeah, I'd say, you know, go in there, no expectations, and see what happens. I think you'll be more impressed and more like giddy about what you made just messing around than watching a tutorial and getting upset. And I speak to that because of my experiences in Blender. Like, I have had such a hard time learning Blender that I went in there the other day. I had a dream about like a podcast intro, and I went in there and just intuitively made it without no tutorial. And I was like, okay, cool. Now I know how to do that. Let's see how I can build upon it. But yeah, that's my recommendation. Just like go in there, no expectations, see what happens.
I like that you say that too, because it's like, that's probably why I've been so stressed out, because it's like you see the end result and you're like, it's not working.
Yeah.
And then it's like you go in there and you're like, I'm not doing what is going on. And then it's like all these technical, you feel like it's a technical issue and it's probably not. You're just like, oh. So it's like you have to take a step back. And then I think that's kind of what I started to do too with when it came to Photoshop. Like, I didn't really watch a lot of tutorials, or even Illustrator. I didn't watch Illustrator. I barely watched any tutorials, but that's like one of the best applications I work in. But it really was just making something. And if it looks pretty to your standard, then it's okay. And you'll be proud of yourself. Like, okay, now I can do this. So yes, I'll take notes of that, because no more throwing the computer or the laptop or the keyboard just because you're upset.
It's funny you say that, because the hardest one I have doing that is with Photoshop. And I've barely kind of torn down that barrier of just going in there and figuring stuff out intuitively. Cause like with Photoshop, you regardless, whenever you open it up, you already have an end product in mind. It's not like you can go in there and just mess around and see what happens. But
yeah, that's true.
But Photoshop, I'm still struggling with, but I'm sure one day, you know, I'll get it.
Photoshop, like, I don't even, that's sad too, because I feel the same way with Photoshop, even though I've used it for like years. I don't even, it's not my favorite one, just because my purpose with Photoshop, the only reason why I even use it is when I make collages or collage work and I want to tweak it up a bit. But it's nothing, I don't know how these people who are like photographers, they spend like 40, 45 like hours just making a photo or doing some edits. I'm like, I would get frustrated. I could not do that. No, I'm saying.
Yeah. I did something, the way I kind of got more comfortable with Photoshop was doing like product photography with one light. And then, you know, just going in there with one light and then manually brushing stuff in. And that's how I started learning it personally. But.
Okay. And also like just video in general, right? How do you feel? I feel, in my opinion, I feel like video is kind of like the future for not just design, but like kind of the future for everything too. So how do you feel how this world is going? Like, you're probably like excited, like for, you know, the world moving in this video direction.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I think, especially like with Instagram, like the CEO the other day was like, we're a video app now, you know? I think it's really cool. People are finally buying in. Where I personally in my day-to-day life run into it is the barrier for entry is so low now that you have your phone and you have, you know, even software on your phone to edit, which saturates the market with people who say, oh, I'm a video editor now, you know? So there's a lot more competition, but competition is really cool because I think trends come and go faster. And the amount of skills you learn with these trends is really cool. Like, for instance, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, remember the travel video edits, like Sam Colder, like the swooshing and the blue and orange and teal, you know, like when that was going on, everyone was doing it. And so was I. But what I took out of it was like how to color grade, you know, and then taking those skills out of that fad and then being able to apply it to like my own style helped my portfolio so much more than, you know, just watching a tutorial on YouTube, you know. So I'm really excited to see where it goes. And with these new computers too, like the ability to export and create something cool is so low that it makes my job easier too, you know, so.
Yeah, it's like, damn, I can't imagine that. That's another thing too. Like, what do you feel like is the future? Like, predict the future when it comes to video. What do you see next?
I want to see more 360 video and VR video. Even like big companies are buying into it. Like Canon, they just released like a VR lens where it's your Canon camera with two lenses instead of one, two wide angle lenses. So it looks like goggles. But I think that's really cool, especially with like big companies like Facebook delving more into the VR and augmented reality space. Eventually there'll be experiences where people want you to edit a video that puts you in a place in a certain time to experience a certain, you know, experience. So I think VR is definitely where this world is going in terms of video editing, which is going to be very interesting, you know, editing 2D video to 360 video. I think that's the future.
Okay. And what is VR for people who don't know?
Yeah. So VR is virtual reality, which is basically created in a computer. And then there's AR, which is augmented reality. So it's what we see, but augmented to be something else. Right. Okay. Yeah. So like Snapchat filters, whenever you put it on your face, or TikTok filters, that's augmented reality. VR is like, you know, a roller coaster simulator on a headset, you know?
Okay, that's good. Because the thing is, like, in our class, we have a branding class going on, right? And I feel like in one of the things that we've been trying to do, even in all my design classes, something with video is going on. Like my logo class, oh, it would be nice if you can make a motion video for your logo. Or my branding class, someone is doing something where it's like the AR effect would be on the clothing. It's like AR shopping, right? I can't remember the name, but I thought that'd be cool too. And I'm just like, damn, like this new video thing is really like popping. So I don't know. I feel like anytime I talk to like anyone who is in video, I feel like they would be so excited because it's like your world is starting to like flourish and grow like at an accessible rate. Like even designers are starting to have to learn video some way because it's like it's not that if you don't do video, you're going to be left behind, but it's kind of like, this is a new thing. Like, try it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think one really cool thing too, for like videographers and video editors, is the quality is becoming so much more accessible too. Like the ability to have 4K video, you know, is super easy now. You know, I mean, obviously you still have to pay for whether even it's a phone or a camera, but it's becoming the standard, you know? So yeah, the accessibility to video is really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. They even got memes for it. You got caught in 4K.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And most of the times those memes have like DSLR cameras, you know, you're like, that shoots 1080, dude. You know?
That is hilarious. But see, that's the thing. I'm telling you, it's the next big thing. But no, I think it is like a something you should invest in your education through,
mm-hmm,
young people.
Yeah, and to be honest, like I've taken like one video class, and it was that one class I had just mentioned. You know, the learning how to edit, and it wasn't even a video class. It was an editing class, how to use the software. I think, you know, the biggest thing people run into is that they're like, oh, I need this to be able to do this. You know, I think if you kind of take away that barrier and see the resources that are actually available to you, and you just start kind of making stuff, you'll, you know, what's the word? You'll, you know, run laps around people who do go to traditional school. Because I think when people go to school for something like video, they become so specialized, you know, they're like, oh, I only do X in video, which is cool. And it's very good for certain situations. But if you just want to make videos in general, instead of investing, like, I think a physical dollar, invest that time, you know, with mm-hmm. what you have.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to notice too. Even though I go to like art school or design school and I learn design, I still have value in like still doing it outside the classroom. Like they're not going to teach you how to learn Webflow, Figma, mm-hmm. Shopify, all these e-commerce platforms. But it's like when you go to a job and you look at the, you know, requirements, that's what they want you to have. So it's like, okay, let me start to learn this on the side and let me do these by myself. Cause it's like, school is not going to always teach you that.
Yeah. And it's funny because so the video that Adobe made about me, it was really humbling because they show up and, you know, this is like a full film crew in my room here. And they're asking me how to make a video. And these are people, like, I was talking to them and they've edited videos for, like, they made videos for Conor McGregor, Simone Biles, Reebok, all these big companies. And I asked them their backgrounds, right? And none of them went to film school. Like, they went traditional routes and they're still interested in video after college, that they just bought the equipment and see where it took them, you know? So yeah, I think it's cool. And it's also like, I think more people should be aware that, like, you don't have to do the traditional route to be able to do something in the field you want to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm starting to notice that. Would you consider yourself a self-taught artist or no?
For the most part. Yeah. I've never really taken a class for it.
Yeah.
On top of that,
I'm impressed. I'm like, well, yeah. Like, if you didn't take a class for it, like, you must be really good. You got to know me looking at you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, a big part of like the creative process, at least having some, you know, inspiration, like my dad was a big inspiration for me since he had done that, but it's not like we ever sat down and he was like, okay, let's learn this. It was more just picking stuff up and having an appreciation for an art to, like, even, you know, the classical art, right? You learn things that are impressionable and, you know, iconic. And if you can integrate even one little aspect of it into your style, why not? You know, I don't think you need to go too far to find something that affects you or even your work, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's true. And as far as creative process, I always ask everyone on this podcast, you know, what is your struggle as a creative?
Definitely motivation. And what happens with me for sure is, like, I'll have a million ideas to do something, you know, like, even if it's start a podcast or make a short film or do any of this stuff, like, the ability to get off the couch and start it is so hard for me, or even if I do start it, to be able to finish it, right? And I think that's where I've learned all these other apps and other skills, is just by, even if I don't have the motivation to finish something I started, like, at least use some creative energy to learn a new skill. Maybe that will motivate me to get back on it. Which stinks because I consider myself like a jack of all trades, but a master in none, you know, because I know how to do all these other things. But when it comes to like one very good thing, I think I'm still figuring that out, you know. But yeah, motivation is, especially now in like quarantine pandemic, even if it's towards the end of it, it's really hard, really hard. So
Yes, trust me. Oh my gosh. Well, this is a thing. I get creative at certain days and certain times. And especially like when you go to like school or when you have to design for clients or anything specific where you have to design, it's so frustrating because if the ideas are not there or the thing isn't coming to you, you have to do it either way. And it's like a deadline is a deadline. And I think that's kind of why sometimes it could be so pressuring when it comes to deadlines, because like you have to make something anyways. But when it comes to those like that, I think that's why it's hard for me to create those like passion projects or those fun projects on the side, just because you'll do something and you're like, oh, okay, I like it. And then it's not that you get bored with it, but it's like, what's next, you know? Or And I don't know. It's like something that's crazy about being a designer. It's like there's so many restrictions when it comes to being a designer. Like, you need to design this, that, and this and that, and you can't use this, you can't use that. So when you have to design something, you have an idea of what the end result should be. But it's like when you get into a passion project or something you're designing for yourself, you're like, okay, I have all this freedom now. What do I do now? And it's like, yeah, it's crazy. And it's, and then you look at yourself, you're like, I have no ideas coming out right now. Or like right now, right, I'm trying to do something for like Etsy shop or something for me, right? For something, something fun. And it's like, I got all my work done, got all this done. And it's like, now I'm to the point where it's like, okay, like, what should I do? Oh, this doesn't look right. Oh, I don't like this. So yes, I can relate to that struggle. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because the current role I'm in, I do creative work for local government. And so the amount of restrictions and being able to, you know, be like ADA compliant, and then the amount of approvals it has to go to, it can be draining too, you know, because you're like, oh, I have this good idea for this campaign, but this person doesn't like, and this person is like, okay, we got to restart. Or like, you have to get so many people involved, or even the politics of things, you know, there are so many restrictions that when I do look at a personal project, there's so many ways I can go about it that it's overwhelming too. You know, you're like, oh man, like the only project I've done in quarantine related to video was a short film. And it was cool because it was one of those Peter McKinnon 72-hour video contest, and that 72 hours gave me a deadline that I was actually like, okay, I need to finish it by now to even complete it. It wasn't selected, but I used that film in other film festivals that it got accepted to, which was like a good little motivation hump to be able to do more things right after that. But the deadline's very important for, you know, being creative on your own time too. I'm really realizing that as of lately too.
Yeah, I didn't notice that too, like, because it's like with deadlines, it's that's also something someone, one of my professors was, you know, telling me too, because it's like when you're working on a project that's just for you, or just kind of like, it's like, when are you finished with it? It's kind of funny because he was like, a project is never really like done, because there's always something you can do, always something you can add. It's just never ending. And that's kind of the point of the deadline. It's like, okay, you just have to be, he was kind of saying like, you just have to be satisfied with your work at that point, because it's like, you can't, if there's a deadline, you just can't keep going with it, because it's like never ending.
Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy. But yeah, but how have you like dealt with that, as far as like what has helped you like stay motivated, I guess, in a way?
I'd say it's definitely been, you know, trying to learn something new. And I think, you know, as creatives, we always have an interest in something that we don't do, you know, because we do something creative and we see other people do more creative stuff that just blows our mind, right? That we're like, oh, that would be so cool to get into. So learning new things constantly, even watching documentaries on Netflix or YouTube about, you know, notable designers or notable trends or the visual science of things, that's what motivates me to just get up and start tinkering with something, some project that I've been working on. But yeah, just never letting go of that creative drive, you know, even if you don't want to do anything creative, you know, at least integrate into your life somehow, and it'll motivate me eventually. Also, like dreams motivate me too. Like I'll wake up in the middle of the night. Yeah. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, okay, I need to do that. And then I'll figure out a way or time or to schedule it and do it.
But, see, I like that. Cause me, I'm not going to be one of those girls, but I'm gonna say it anyways. I'm a Pisces. So I love like, when it comes to my dreams, I have like a dream journal. Like I take my dreams really seriously. I've dreamt about type before, all this weird stuff, but I'm saying that is very specific, and I think that is a really good idea as far as like what your dreams and how it reflects, you know, to your projects. And I think that's cool too, because like you do video, so that would be such a cool idea, like actually remaking it or something.
Yeah
have you done that?
I think once I did, but it was for a school project. Like I think when I go to sleep, like my thoughts are still going, you know. And I can like to speak to it a little more. An example would be I was trying to learn guitar, you know, like the song on guitar. It was a John Mayer "Stop This Train" song, and I could never get it. And then I woke up at like 3 a.m, like I got it, you know, and went downstairs and started playing it. But yeah, I think my mind doesn't turn off really. So in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I'll make a. Oh, I remember a project. I had to do a promo for one of my friends who's an artist, and I just didn't know where to go with it. And then I had like this a really trippy like dream about the song he wanted and what he had explained to me. And then I went downstairs, found the assets, and made it. So yeah, I remember that for sure.
That's cool. And like, who do you look up to when it comes to like videos? Me personally, the fact that you said Netflix, I don't know, that has kind of been like Netflix documentaries in particular, I have been loving, because it's like I'm like, oh whoa, like they're putting in motion design, or like this, there's like this series called Explain, there's another series called Abstract. Like these people are putting like motion design in their videos, and it's like I feel like there's other creators in my house, right? But I'm the designer specifically. So when I go on TV and I'm like, bro, look at this. And they're like, what the hell is she talking about? Like, it's just things moving. But I get excited when it comes to like looking at motion design on Netflix. And I was trying to look at the company and who they are. And I'm like, these are the people I want to intern for. And so as far as you, like who inspires you or what videos, you know, that you like or other things like that?
Yeah, I'd say... So Netflix intros go way too hard sometimes, you know, you're like, how, you know, like that's huge. Yes. Project. So yeah, Netflix intros are a huge inspiration. I actually never really go in depth on who does the intros. I actually should. But in terms of like videos, let's see, I like directors, look towards directors more than I guess traditional video editors. Like Baz Luhrmann, I love his cinematography style and his visual storytelling. He's the one who did Great Gatsby and The Get Down. And he also did that 2000s Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio. Like the visual takes on those things was so cool to me that I was like, you don't have to be traditional to tell a good story. Like his choice to be able to put like rap into The Great Gatsby, it fit so perfectly somehow, right? Or even if you've seen The Get Down, his visual choices in terms of motion graphics too, and telling the story of, you know, these Puerto Ricans in Harlem in the midst of rising rap was so unique that it removes barriers for me, like rule wise, you know, your ability to say, okay, you don't have to be traditional to tell a good story. You know, I think when you're going to school, learning about how to write, you're told all these rules of like circular storytelling. Yeah, that's cool. But then when you start thinking about implementing circular storytelling, sometimes you limit yourself in the ways you can take things, you know, or even context or visual context or cohesiveness, right? So yeah, Baz Luhrmann's been a huge inspiration for me as a director. He's really, really cool.
Okay, I'm gonna look into that tonight. And that's another thing too about storytelling. I didn't notice how important that was. it's like obvious, but as you know, as being a designer, I'm like, okay, so what goes into this? Like, make a cool video. But my, you know, motion design teacher, he really has been pushing us as far as like make a good story. Like, we've been so focused on like storyboards and all this, and I'm not like used to this process of like creating a story. Mm-hmm. Like I think when I was little, I used to make like not comics, but like little things that would happen. But like, I feel like lately that's kind of been on my mind as far as like working on the development of storytelling, because I can come up with great ideas, right? Like, great ideas, that's fine. But it's like, can you bring that out though and explain it more into a story? Like, I feel like that's probably the most challenging thing for me. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of those things that story, sometimes you don't even need to realize it's as good as it is, you know, when it's executed perfectly. You don't even give a thought to it because it's so realistic or so, natural, you know? And I think like commercials sometimes do a good, job at it. Sometimes you'll watch a commercial and you'll be like, oh, that's so snobby, or that's so, snooty, you know? And it's because they try to put a story in there that doesn't fit the product or like isn't really reality, you know? But yeah, story, I think it's don't overcomplicate it and you'll have a good story, you know?
Okay. I'm gonna take notes of that too. I have to remember this when I get off. Yeah. I'm about to like start now that I know like you do video, I'm going to like send questions. I'm just like, you know, right now, if I have a After Effects problem, I'm going to be like, okay, question here.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny. Cause Adobe ran some ads with me in it from that video. And the amount of people reaching out, be like, how'd you do that? Like, it's cool. Cause you know, like I mentioned earlier, like when you find someone on YouTube or someone, just reach out, you know, like I'm not no big designer. Yeah. I'm on an Adobe ad, but I'm just here in my room, you know, like reach out.
I feel like that's what's so cool when it comes to like just artists, creatives. It's like, it's so easy to talk to them. Like some of them may be like a little shy or a little nervous, but it's like, that's so cool about how cool we are. It's like, we're not these, like, we don't try to put on this big thing. Like, oh, we're the biggest, coolest people in the world. No, we're just like, no, I'm just chilling. Like, you can talk to me, you know, we're so nonchalant, but so willing to talk to other creatives. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny, because the contrast between that and where our work gets shown sometimes is totally different, you know, which is funny.
But okay. So I might be wrapping up this podcast. Is there anything that you want to talk about in particular? Any questions?
Let's see. Okay. How about dream jobs? How about that? Dream jobs. What's your dream job?
Ooh, that's very... My dream job? I don't know. I want to say I have several. But as far as like, obviously, as far as an independent designer, like I want to be able to own my own studio. Like, you know, I see Dribbble. I see the future. Like I want to own something like that. But as far as something where it's, you know, obviously I'm running it, it's my studio, but it's like showing resources, obviously doing courses, doing all this, but also not just teaching creatives how to do things, but also like even business people or people who don't know design, the importance of why design is important. I feel like that's kind of the problem with this world, is because they don't realize the power that creativity has. It's kind of underrated when it comes to people who don't know, because I always support artists, creatives, because they obviously know they get the gist, right? Mm-hmm. But people who aren't creatives, I like inspiring their minds of why what I do or why the little things I notice is important. Like when you look at typography, right? People don't know like the importance of that or why that font is there. But I like me, it's like a way of communication. Like if things were communicated in a wrong way, obviously it would something a problem would happen. But since a designer, since someone who has fixed that for you, like, I don't know, people, I want people to cherish that part. But as far more into like a dream job, like, I don't know, I kind of written this down to, it's like, I want to see myself like own studio, nice. It's like set up like Pink, like, I don't know what it is, but it's like having my own studio. I think that's my goal. And obviously like working with clients, working with like different things, branding clients in particular. And that's the thing, I'm still trying to figure that out as far as like, studio part, independent studio, because it's so much harder than people understand. Like people just think like, oh, you could just be this independent person, work by yourself, right? And that's kind of where I'm stuck on, as far as like I'm doing this by myself, have my own podcast by myself, do all this by myself. So as far as I grow, like, will it grow? So it's like, will I have to expand from who I am as a designer, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I have to think about other people, other employees. Like that's kind of like my goal, but I don't know how that long that's going to be, right? So another like not like another job option, but as far as like studios or people that like I want to work with, like this is the thing too, I've been writing this down, happy you asked this question, because it's like I've been really in stuck with this, but like I've been noticing throughout my experience, like I want to work in creative studios that like know the importance of design. I think like people like Pentagram, I think there's another studio called Collins, like, or like I said too, with the motion graphic videos at like Box, like I have been wanting to look in more into studios that are like creative studios that are mainly design studios that work with clients that cherish and like highly understand the importance of design, because I want to do something where I can be very experimental, very creative. I can come up with new ideas and it's not going to be like, no, I don't want that. Because I feel like a lot of jobs that I've had are like just very solid, like, I don't want to say Microsoft Office. Like when I say Microsoft Office design, this is what I mean. Like Microsoft Office design type of work is like very admin work. Like I want you to design it like this. Very boring, no color, like, but I am a type of person where it's like, I scream for that. I want to design something with bright colors and other things like that. And lately, like, I've been talking to my mom about this too. So I was saying to her, I'm thinking about probably changing my audience or doing something with different people when it comes to like my work. Cause like, I'm starting to notice I work with like jewelry brands or like these high chic brands, but it's like, it's like the work is okay, but sometimes it doesn't feel fulfilling for me because it's like I want something bold in your face, you know, bright, colorful, right? So it's like when I work with people and they want like this, I want this chic green, I don't want this much color, don't use yellow or don't use pink, like I'm gonna be like, oh my gosh, like this is boring. So I want to work with and I was like, maybe I should work with like album covers or like bands or artists where it's like they have this textile like font or something different, right? And I don't know, I've just been on this like route. But yeah, I kind of like went in with like this dream job question, but I don't know, it's like I'm still trying to figure out who do I want to design for in particular. But it's like I know I obviously want to work with people who's like accept my creativity or my style that I like to create in, like something bright in your face. I want something colorful. So it's sad that I mentioned color because it's like people don't understand that I want people to understand why I like this color palette or understand like why I want you know, why typography is important in it. I don't know, because it's like just something that puts a lot of more value on the design aspect. Mm-hmm. Other than just like, okay, let's do this admin work and let's do this or design this grid and make it look nice. I'm like, okay, but I'm like, want to do more. Like, I want to make them like, wow, like something like that, you know? But yeah, that's kind of in my dream job. But yes, that's my dream job.
That's really cool. I definitely got like the future vibe from what you mentioned, like teaching people, you know, the importance of design, but also being that innovative edge is really, really cool. Yeah, that I like based on your design work, I totally see that for you. That would be really cool.
That's why, like, in the future, this is the thing with the future, like, they are a business design type of creative design studio, right? So I'm mm-hmm. not saying I want to, like, be like them, but I'm saying, like, the influence that they have as far as inspiring many designers, teaching them design and why it's important, like, I feel like me is more of, like, an emotional side more than, mm-hmm. like, a financial business side. Like, mine is, like, okay, like, how can you manage productivity or how can you like, you know, or like this podcast, like, what do you struggle with? Like things like that, just because designers have this thing where it's like, or not just designers, to creators in general, it's like, they have this thing where it's like, you have to create, do this, make money, da da da, right? Everyone mm-hmm. wants that. Everyone wants to make money, but people forget the aspect of like the emotional side behind it or the feelings that go into making work. And it's like, that's kind of like not pushed under the rug or anything or not important, but I'm saying like, that's something that like, I feel like I can level up in.
Yeah.
Just because growing up, like, I was always the try to make you feel better type of person or, like, trying to be the most helpful person. So I feel like I want to teach people or teach creatives, like, okay, you could be a creative. You could do all this, make all this good work. But it's, like, is your mental health okay? Like, are you fine? Like, just something like that. But then also teaching them, too, like, okay, design is important. And why is it important? Just because it's, like, people really don't understand why creativity, why is all of this stuff, or why you pray to the algorithm or all these certain things. Like, I feel like teaching that to other people or saying things like, you know, design is everything. Design is what you look at. Design is da da da. Like, I want a mind that's creative and a mind that's not creative to both be engaged in the aspect of creativity. Like, that's my goal ultimately.
That's cool. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I think that part of the creative process is not glamorized at all. You know, it's not even talked about, but that's really cool.
But yes. But what's your dream job? Since you asked
me. Yeah. So I for the longest time, I was always the type of person to be like, oh, I want to work for a big brand, or, you know, because that's what my dad did, you know, and it's cool. It is glamorized. So, like, you know, growing up, you know, seeing my dad like work with like these big brands, it's glamorized even on social media. You know, people say, look at what I designed for this brand. You know, look at this product packaging I did for this brand, whatever. And, you know, I think everyone chases those kind of like fleeting opportunities. Yeah. So recently, you know, so like, getting into like government work recently really opened my eyes on how design and creativity can be used for good, which has been really fulfilling for me. Yeah. But even though it's very structured and organized and there's a lot of regulations, you know, being able to push the envelope has been, you know, very fulfilling for me. So, you know, if I want to own my own studio in the future, maybe I would definitely try to focus on like sustainability and, you know, climate change and stuff like that. I think that's very important. And the use of technology in it doesn't have to be detrimental or impact the environment too much to be effective. So definitely, you know, something that's public oriented, government facing, or not even government facing, but, you know, the innovative side of tech and design is kind of like where my dream job is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that's, I think it's emerging, but definitely something that helps other people, you know, in terms of design to make things more accessible, designed to help the environment. I'm sure there's various positions everywhere, but, you know, to do that on your own in your own studio would be a really cool goal of mine.
Okay. I think that's cool too. And designing for sustainability, I really put this heavily on, like, you know, what are my morals right now? Just because I feel that is just the thought of it too, like, helping climate change. I've been really pushing forward on like companies I want to work with too, or even brands that I want to work with. I feel like that should be more like valued and high up. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
Like more valued in the aspect of like people should think about it more. More companies, especially these corporations, like designing for sustainability is very important. So yes, I really think that's cool that like it's like a goal of yours though.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And actually have an Adobe workshop planned on it. Alongside a few other universities, a big, you know, design and sustainability program sometime early next year. So that should be really exciting. Hope to see y'all there.
I know.
But, yeah.
I'm gonna look at that next.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna be wrapping up this podcast. So, is there any final advice that you have for any creators out there, or any video editors out there, or like people like me struggling with After Effects? Any advice that you would like to give to the people listening?
Yeah. Put on the shutters and, you know, just look at what you're doing. Don't compare yourself to others. It's easy to see, you know, the highlights of what people put online of you know, their successes. And sometimes it might be hard to get off the ground, but, you know, the more things you put out there, the higher chance of, you know, someone that's notable or, you know, has, you know, the way you want to go has the chance to find you. You know, just focus on yourself and, you know, create what you want to create. Eventually it'll pay off.
Okay. All right, Aaron. So thank you for being a guest on this podcast. I really appreciate this. And yes, you were amazing on this talk, even though the technology was being trippy as hell.
Yeah. Oh, well, but.
Okay. And also, hope you guys listen to the next podcast and enjoy, and always remember to do what your art desires.